Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the verses 28 through 30. John chapter 19, the verses 28 through 30. And as you see, we're nearing the end here of chapter 19, working our way towards Easter Sunday. And I do plan next week to preach 28 through 37, and then on Good Friday, verses 38 through 42, and then on Easter Sunday morning, we'll be right on the empty tomb on John 20. So today we have as our scripture reading the very end of Jesus' life, his death on the cross, which takes place in these verses, John chapter 19, the verses 28 through 30. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from John chapter 19. Once again this morning, as we read our text from the Gospel of John, you may have noticed some unique things that the Gospel writer of John has recorded differently from the other Gospels. In both Matthew and Mark, Jesus is offered two drinks during the course of his crucifixion time. The first, before his crucifixion on the cross ever begins, no doubt to deaden the pain. And both Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus refused to drink it because he wanted to suffer all there is to suffer. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark also record that Jesus is offered a second drink on the cross, just as we see here in the Gospel of John. Luke's Gospel, like John, records one drink that Jesus is offered, but Luke records it in the middle of the crucifixion, not just before his last words or his death, as we see it here in John's Gospel this morning. In Matthew and Mark, as Jesus hangs on the cross, Matthew and Mark record Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Upon hearing it, those who have heard him say these words believe that he might be calling Elijah. And so they say to themselves, "Let us run and get some wine vinegar with the hope that if we revive him some, we can see and wait if Elijah will come and rescue him." In Luke, it is the soldiers who offer the wine, but their offer of wine is not for Jesus' benefit. It is part of the mockery that he suffers on the cross. They are hoping that somehow the wine vinegar will revive him and make him feel his pain and have that pain last even more than Jesus might be aware of as he is on the cross near death. But the Gospel writer of John records these events differently than the other Gospels. He records these events, this event concerning Jesus' thirst, in his own unique way. There is no mention of Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" in John's Gospel. There is no mention of two particular drinks that Jesus is offered, one at the beginning of the crucifixion and this time here just before his death, as Matthew and Mark describe. Instead, the Gospel writer of John records two unique things that none of the other Gospels record. Jesus' words, "I am thirsty." Jesus' words, "It is finished." John alone also records the hyssop plant that is used when Jesus is offered something to drink. John alone records the beginning of verse 30. that Jesus received the drink and drank some. Why does the gospel writer of John record these events in his own unique way? And what unique message does John have for us to understand about these verses in the way the Holy Spirit has inspired him to write them? Well, let us begin this morning by looking at the structure of our text. Jesus' last words are, "It is finished." In the Greek original, this is the same Greek word that we find at the beginning of verse 28. "Later, knowing that all was now finished." The word "finished" represents the fact that Jesus' work is finished. He has come as Son of God. He has completed the work that the first Adam failed to complete. Adam, do not eat of the tree. Adam ate of the tree. All of mankind fell into sin. Jesus, as the second Adam, has come and has perfectly kept the laws of God. And now he has submitted to death, death on a cross, though he had committed no sin, though he is God's Son. And now his work is finished. Verse 28, "Later, knowing that all was now finished," and Jesus' final words, "It is finished," bracket the account from beginning to end, forming for us an inclusio around the center words concerning Jesus' thirst. But if the point of our text is concerning Jesus' finished work, why does the gospel writer include these words concerning Jesus' thirst? "I am thirsty." No other gospel writer records it. In the other gospels, as Jesus is offered a drink, it is done for the sake of mockery. Let us see if we can revive him some with this wine vinegar, and if Elijah will come. Or in Luke, the soldiers do it in an effort to continue with their mockery. "If you are the King of the Jews," they say, "come down from that cross and save yourself." But John records that Jesus speaks the words, "I thirst." There's more to it than just a mockery. There is something else that John is recording he wants us to see concerning Jesus' thirst and the offering of the wine vinegar. You notice the next phrase in verse 28 is, "so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." On the outer layers, we have that Jesus declares, "It is finished," and that so all events would be finished. But now it is speaking of fulfillment. And that phrase, "the scriptures would be fulfilled," is used three other times in chapter 19. We find it in verse 24. "This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.'" A quote from Psalm 22, the writings of the Old Testament. We see the same phrase in verse 36. "These things happened so the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones broken." A quote from Exodus chapter 12 and Numbers chapter 9 from the books of the law of Moses of the Old Testament. And verse 37. "So that the scriptures would be fulfilled." And another scripture says, "They will look upon the one they have pierced." A quote from the prophets, Zechariah 12 verse 10. In these three other places in John 19 where the phrase is used, "that the scriptures might be fulfilled," the author John tells us exactly what scripture is being fulfilled. And he encompasses all of the Old Testament writings, showing that as Jesus died on the cross, he has fulfilled all the Old Testament. He has fulfilled the Psalms and all the writing books. He has fulfilled the law, Exodus and Numbers, and all the other places in the law. He has fulfilled the prophecies. But now, as we come to where that phrase is used a fourth time. The gospel writer does not tell us exactly which verse from the Old Testament is being fulfilled. And so that all the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." In your Bibles, as that phrase is used each and every other time, the scripture might be fulfilled. We have a quote from scripture and we're told what scripture is fulfilled. But we do not see it here in verse 28. No scripture verse, only the words, "I am thirsty." Well, as you can imagine, there are many scholars and commentators who theorize what exactly verse or part of the Old Testament is being quoted or referred to when Jesus tells us or Jesus speaks from the cross, "I am thirsty." Some say it is another part of Psalm 22 that is being fulfilled, because Psalm 22 is quoted in verse 24. And in Psalm 22, verse 15, we read, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth." The psalmist is expressing the physical pain of thirst. And no doubt, as Jesus is hanging from the cross, he feels this physical pain of thirst. He has been beaten to a pulp. He has been forced to carry his cross outside of Jerusalem into the place of the skull called Golgotha. He is hanging upon this cross, suffering and dying, and no doubt very, very thirsty. And as the psalmist speaks of his great thirst, as the roof of his mouth is parched and his tongue is sticking to his mouth, we can imagine our Lord and his great thirst. In the Old Testament, physical thirst was a sign of God's curse. For the Israelites, when there was no water, no rain in the land, they suffered famine that was part of God's curse for their sin and unfaithfulness. When someone in the Old Testament was suffering a physical thirst, it represented God's curse. And now Jesus, God's Son, who in John chapter 4 told the woman at the well that "I can give you living water and you will no longer hunger or thirst if you drink this water." Now Jesus is hanging on the cross, thirsty, suffering God's curse. Others have pointed to a different place in the psalm that might be referring to Psalm 42. The psalmist in Psalm 42 writes, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you." The image being described is a deer that is being hunted by man or by animal. And this deer, his strongest characteristic that he can do is run and flee, because he can move faster than anyone who wants to come and devour him and destroy him. But this deer who is on the run is now getting tired, is now getting thirsty, and he's slowing down. And those who are hunting the deer are ready to come up and approach him. And the deer is panting for water, for if the deer can get water, the deer can be revived and continue running and fleeing from those who seek to destroy him. And the psalmist says, "So my soul pants for you, O God." All through the Gospel of John, there have been those trying to destroy Jesus. There have been those who have been plotting to murder him and destroy him. They have been trying to trick him in his words, challenging him on his Sabbath keeping, trying to find something he would do that would violate their laws, that they could put him on trial and put him to death. and now he hangs on the cross. They have brought him before their Sanhedrin and condemned him worthy of death. They have brought him before Pilate, and Pilate has allowed him to be crucified. And now he hangs on the cross, abandoned by God. His soul longing as the deer pants for water, my soul pants for you. But God has abandoned him, for as his son hangs on the cross, he is cursed for man's sin. Still others say, no, the focus of Jesus' thirst is the fulfillment of Psalm 69, verse 21. In Psalm 69, verse 21, the psalmist writes, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. This verse emphasizes the fact that as Jesus is hanging from the cross and crying out for water, for something sweet to drink, they give him bitter vinegar, wine vinegar to drink. The wine vinegar they give him does not bring quenchment for his thirst. It adds to his pain and his misery and his bitterness. And now Jesus, who in John chapter 2, at the very beginning of his ministry, is asked by his mother to do something, for at the wedding they have run out of wine. And when he takes the ceremonial jars and he has them fill them with water, and they taste the wine, they say, you have saved the best wine until last. Now at the end of his life, they give him a taste of bitter wine vinegar as he asks for thirst, for something to drink on the cross. Which one of these passages is being fulfilled? It would seem the gospel of writer of John does not specifically say which passage, because all of those Old Testament images about thirst are being fulfilled. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he is suffering the effects of God's curse. No water, he is thirsty. As Jesus hangs on the cross, we know from the other Gospels, when he cries out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He has been abandoned by God, and his soul is thirsting out for the living God to deliver him and rescue him. But he knows he must suffer the curse of God's judgment on man's sin. And we know that as they put the wine vinegar in his mouth, not the sweet tasting wine from John 2, he tastes bitterness just before he dies. And the gospel writer of John is the only gospel writer to record, verse 30, that he received the drink. He tasted it. All of that bitterness, all of that thirst went upon him in his mouth. Sometimes people will say, the pain is so bad, I can taste it. Jesus tasted the bitterness, final pain, before he said, it is finished. What is finished? What is finished is God's curse has come upon him. What is finished? God's abandonment for our sin, for his people's sin. God's wrath has come upon him. He has tasted the bitterness of their slavery to sin before it was finished. God told Adam, if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Jesus, as second Adam, suffers the last penalty of Adam's sin. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus, upon saying the words, it is finished, suffers death. Notice how it is described. Verse 30, the final verse or parts of that verse. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Some people have read the verse and thought, what does that mean? He bowed his head. Maybe Jesus is tired and he's finally showing the signs of his tiredness with the bowing of his head. Perhaps that's true. Some have said, well, he gave up his spirit. Maybe that's the thing from the scripture telling us that yes, Jesus has died, but he was always in control at the end. Satan could not take his spirit from him. It was Jesus who had to give up his spirit. Perhaps that's true. But it seems as the gospel writer records Jesus' final moments and his death, what the gospel writer wants us to see is that when Jesus died, he died as anyone who has ever died dies, and as any one of you will someday die. If you've ever been in the room when someone dies, their head bows back, and you see the moment that the life spirit goes out of him or her. That's the death our Savior died. And John is very careful to record it. His head bows, collapses, and they see the life spirit go out of him, and he is dead, and it is finished. But you notice one more unique thing about John's gospel story that the other gospel writers do not record. Right in the center of our text, verse 29, we are told that what was used to lift the sponge up to Jesus that was filled with wine vinegar is the stalk of a hyssop plant. Some have questioned and said, well, would a hyssop plant be long enough, a stalk long enough, or even strong enough to hold a sponge filled with wine vinegar? Some have said no. We know that the stalks back in Jesus' day were longer and stronger than many of the hyssop plants today. But what's really important about the hyssop plant is that in Exodus 12, when the Passover was celebrated, the Israelites were required to take a stalk of hyssop plant and dip it in the blood of the lamb and sprinkle it on their doorposts so the angel of death would pass by. It is the time of the Passover, verse 14. And the Israelites are preparing to celebrate the Passover in their homes, gathering with their families, gathering around the lamb, the blood of the sprinkled upon the doorpost with the hyssop plant, and God's lamb, the one he sent to fulfill the Passover, is hanging outside of Jerusalem on a cross. And he is taking the curse of the sins of his people upon himself. He has tasted the bitterness of their sin and their slavery to sin. He is thirsty. He is given bitter wine to taste and to drink. and he has said, "It is finished." For God's Passover lamb has come. God's Passover lamb has fulfilled. God's Passover lamb has finished the celebration of the Passover. God's Passover lamb has finished salvation for his people. In Mark and Matthew and Luke's gospel, they record the bitter drink being lifted to his lips in efforts to revive him, to continue his mockery to see if Elijah will come, or the mockery of his pain so that it will last longer, or so they will hear them, so Jesus will hear the soldiers shout, "If you are the King of the Jews, come down from that cross." But John's gospel is the only one to record Jesus' thirst. Because John's gospel wants us to see the Passover lamb as he hangs upon the cross. John's gospel wants us to understand the thirst, the curse, the longing, the abandonment for God, the bitterness of sin being placed upon his lips. He's the only gospel writer that records he tasted it, and upon tasting it, he said, "It is finished." Let us not be like the Israelites sitting in their homes, focusing on their Passover lamb, having missed the Passover lamb that God sent out on the hill at Golgotha. As they celebrated in their homes, Jesus was on the cross, and there were those there who saw him. There were those there who believed in him. There were those there who understood when he said, "It is finished," what he had come to do, what he had come to accomplish. As you read this text this morning, may your thoughts and mind be on our Savior. May it be on what he has accomplished. May you know that he has taken your sin upon himself. May you know that he accomplished salvation for you. You cannot do it on your own, by your works, by your abilities. He said, "It is finished." And you drink of the living water that has been poured out from his side. He thirsted, so you will never thirst. He suffered abandonment by God, so you will be in God's presence forever. He took the bitterness of your sin upon his lips, so that your sins are paid for, and you will drink the sweet wine of salvation that has been given to you, both now and forevermore. You do not fear death. You do not fear a day in which your head will bow and the spirit will leave your body. For he suffered it. And you, though may physically feel that pain, will know that your spirit is in heaven with God and with Jesus forevermore, to be raised again when he returns. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for our text, which speaks to us of our Lord and his death on the cross. We rejoice in the salvation he has come to bring, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the curses upon the world, upon your people in the Old Testament because of their sin. And we rejoice that he has taken it all upon himself, that we will never suffer that curse, for he has taken it upon himself and removed it far from us. We thank you for the salvation that has been provided. We thank you that though we may face pain and suffering and even death in this world, our Savior has taken death upon himself and we belong to Him, both now and forevermore. Comfort us, Lord, to know that there's nothing we can do for our salvation, but our Savior did it all. Help us as Your people to live as if we belong to Him, that our life may reflect the salvation He has given us, His righteousness, and the perfect salvation which is ours forever. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.